Today we're going to continue our series that we've started about 4 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago on servant leaders. And we're talking about at the very heart of God is this idea that we are called to serve. And we have established that we will only grow half as much as we should by hearing. You can take all the notes, you can read the Bible through every year, you can come to every service, you can get involved in a small group, you can get involved in a lot of things, you can do so many things, but you will only grow half as much as what God has designed for you to grow. The other half comes through serving. Jesus said, who is greatest among you, let him serve. He says, I'm not the one you'll find at the head of the table waiting to be served. You know, you can wait on me. He says, I'll come and I'll serve. That's where you find me. Jesus said, if you want to find me, you find me through the door of servanthood. And he has always designed that you and I grow through this door of serving others. He's always designed this door of growth to come. Just like today, if you have went to college and you've interned and you've done all this knowledge to be a teacher and you're ready. But I tell you what, there's nothing that replaces growing as a teacher like being in the classroom. Right, teachers? Amen? You know, college prepares you, but not until you get in the middle of dealing with parents who don't know what they're doing or are angry at you or kids who are rowdy and this and that, and you're teaching and controlling the classroom at the same time and, you know, trying to please an administration and trying to please the parents and trying to get the children taught. I mean, there's a lot of things that goes on, and not till you get involved in that situation do you grow as a teacher. And it's the same way, no matter what field you're in, until you begin to get out there and use the knowledge that you've gained, do you actually grow in that field. And Jesus said, if you want to find me, you'll find me serving. And so that's the very heart of who Jesus is this thought of serving. Today I want to talk to you about the thought of serving like Jesus. I mean, if we could just use anybody's example today, we know that Jesus is always the best example. So anytime we have a chance to reference Jesus and reference that his lifestyle and what he did, we can learn so much from him. And what greater teacher than Jesus? And he said, he has come to serve. He has come to serve. You know, I recently read in a Parade magazine sometime back about, there was an article about Elvis. And I don't know about you, but, I mean, isn't Elvis still one of the biggest icons ever, pop culture icons? Do you realize he sold over 250 million, over 250 albums, and the majority of that has come since he's died. He made over 33 movies. I mean, his fans are worldwide by the millions and the millions and the millions. It was so sad because this Parade magazine was talking about how Elvis died such an unhappy man. He died in deep depression. He was an obese person, and he was addicted to painkillers. He was addicted to so many things, and he was such a depressed person. And they were talking to his former wife, Priscilla, and they were talking, and she made this statement about Elvis. She said this is Priscilla Presley. Elvis never came to terms with who or what he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought that he was there for a reason, maybe to preach or to save or to serve or to care for people. That agonizing desire was always in him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. So he would go on stage, and he would not have to think about it. Elvis hadn't a clue about where to begin to look. In a sense, Elvis was lost. I mean, what a tragedy of an icon that he said he never could fulfill his purpose. A person who probably felt so at home on stage, never said that his stage was his place of running, of security, because he felt lost when he wasn't anywhere else. That he had a call in his life, and he didn't know how to fulfill that call, and it drove him to be empty. All those Cadillacs he gave away, all those airplanes, all those trips to Vegas for peanut butter and banana sandwiches, all those glasses of lemonade that he had, amen. All those millions and millions of records, nothing brought happiness to his life. Because inside he had a desire. He knew that God was calling him to do something greater within himself. And that's the way that all of us here today are, that we have all been designed with this greater desire to do something beyond who we are. That God has placed that in our life. And if we're not careful, we'll try to fill that void with other things in our life. We'll use addictions, we'll use relationships, we'll use so many other things to try to fill the void that God has placed for us to fill through serving. See, you won't be fulfilled until you serve. Pastor, I just don't feel fulfilled. I'm coming to church. I'm studying God's Word. My family's doing better than it ever has. I've got the best job I've ever had in my life. But for some reason, I'm just not being fulfilled. And I say to you today, you will not be fulfilled until you learn to serve. That's the way God's designed us. There is a longing in our heart to serve Him. And you will not find fulfillment until you learn to fulfill what God has placed you, designed you for. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's masterpiece, is what that translates. We are His Monet. We are His poem, man. We are His song. We are His workmanship. He created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has got good works for you to do that He's prepared in advance. Now, Pastor, are you saying today that if I do good works, that I'll get to heaven? No. That's the opposite. You can never do enough good works. Listen, do not get me wrong. Our salvation is never, has, and never will be based on our good works. We can never get to heaven. We can never get forgiveness from God based on doing good things. That's religion, okay? And Jesus didn't come to give us a religion, but He came to give us a relationship that brings freedom. But we know this, that we were created for a purpose. We were created in advance to do the will that God has for us. What matters most in life is not how long you live, but how you live. Let me say it again. It does not matter how long you live in life. It matters how you live it. What matters is not the duration of your life. What matters is the donation of your life. Amen. Thank you for that amen right there. I got one amen. Michael, I think I just preached to you today. All right. Michael, it doesn't matter the duration of your life. What matters is the donation of your life. Anybody else want to say amen today? All right. Okay. All right. Making sure we're on the same page, sir. If you didn't say amen, I'm preaching to you today. Okay? All right. We are created for a purpose. Your talents, by the way, aren't for your benefit. Let me say again, your talents that God has given you, by the way, are not for your benefit. You were never created with talents for your own benefit. You were created with talents to use to bless God, to bless His kingdom, to serve. Look what 1 Peter says in 4:10. Each one of us should use whatever gift he receives to serve others. Each one of us should use whatever gift he receives to serve others. Notice it doesn't say that your gifts are used to obtain money. It never says your gifts are used to obtain popularity, to advancement. Now, I'm not talking about because of abilities you're going to get pay raises, and because of abilities you're going to get job advancement. And that's all a part of life, and thank God that we have those abilities. But they were never meant to be used just for my personal advancement. My abilities, my giftings were never used for my personal advancement. They have always been given by God to serve others. We've got to realize that. Let me say this to you. If I serve God, I must serve others. If I serve God, I must serve others. It goes hand in hand. Well, Pastor, I like serving God, but I don't like serving others. You can't say that because it's impossible. It's impossible. That's an impossible statement. You cannot serve God without serving others. Because that's what Christ came to do. Everything He was about serving people. I mean, the essence of who He is. He says, man, you love God all your heart. And He said, then you love your neighbor as yourself, man. Do serve them. A lot of people want to serve God, but they don't want to serve others. It's impossible to do as a Christian. Matthew 20:28. Says, your attitude must be like my own. This is Jesus talking. He says, your attitude must reflect His attitude. For I did not come to be served, but to serve. Look at that word attitude. He says, that's our attitude in life. Our attitude should always be about serving. Our attitude should always be about serving people. He says, that's why I came. That's the bottom line. This is why I'm here. I have come to serve. And your attitude should always reflect a servant's heart. So today we're going to look at these attitudes of Jesus that He had in serving. We're going to study some of these attitudes, and I believe that you and I today can grow from these. Do you realize the word serve is the same word we get the word minister for? And if you translate the word minister in the Hebrew and Greek, and you transfer the word serve, they always come out the same. The minister means to serve means to minister. Well, pastor, I'm not called to be a minister. I beg to differ with you. If you're called to serve, you're called to be a minister. Well, I'm called to ministry. Well, great, then you're called to serve. I got the broom right back there. Let's go for it. I'm surprised at how many people over my years have come to me, Pastor, God's called me to serve with you, man. God's called me to be your right-hand man. God's called me to be a part of this team. And I'm like, great, I'll see you Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Let's come down here and clean and set up. Let's go out and hit some houses and do some things we need to do. It's amazing how God changes his mind. I mean, you know, he just really, really can have a way. And I know this, that I'm not looking, I've learned this a long time ago, that in leadership, I'm not looking for those who have the best abilities. I'm looking for those who can serve. Because if you can serve, God's going to grow your abilities. If you can serve, God's going to bless what you do. I'd much rather have a person with one talent who has a heart of servant than a person with 10 talents who can't serve. That's good preaching right there. We'll just take that to the bank right this morning. Okay. God has always designed for us to use the talents we have for his glory. Last week we talked about the preparation for eternity. Remember the rope we stretched across here that almost burnt down because the communion table was across there. And you guys were scared that rope was going to catch on fire and snap. If it had, I'd have used an illustration right there out of it. It was all right. But we stretched the rope out and talked about how this rope represents eternity. And we had a little string on here hanging down that said, "This our life represents eternity." Just a flash in the pan. And we live our life with this string. We live our life for right here. My abilities to get what I want. My abilities to get and advance my ministry, my kingdom, my work, my job, my things, my. We sound like we're 3 years old, don't we? I mean, that's the first thing I said. Mine! Mine! I mean, one of the first things we learn as babies is mine. I mean, before they can say daddy or mommy, they know that word, mine. We never outgrow it, do we? When my wife and I got married, we had agreement, you know, to what hers was mine and what's mine was mine. And then we just had this agreement. And we're naturally born that way. We're naturally born to be the people who want to live our life right here, right now, for our own desires. And Jesus came in and blew it out of the water and said, man, you are missing it, because the kingdom of God is not about today. The kingdom of God is not about living your life, because your life is just a vapor compared to eternity. He said your life as a Christian should be about eternity. Well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. Listen, if the salvation was the only thing that was important, then why doesn't Jesus take us to heaven when we accept him? If salvation was the only thing that was important, then when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, why doesn't he take us on to heaven right then? Why does he leave us here on earth? Because he has a plan for eternity that he wants to establish and work through you and me. That's why we're still here. That's why he has left us here, because he wants to work and reveal his plan through you and I. And Jesus displayed these attitudes. And let's look at the first attitude. The first attitude we see in Jesus, if you're going to be a minister like Jesus, serving like Jesus, first of all, means being available. Simply being available. No, it doesn't make a difference how much talent you have. If you're not available, God can't use you. You want to be used of God? First of all, you got to make yourself available. Look in Matthew 20. Jesus was walking in the city of Jericho one day, and it says, two blind men shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped. Catch that phrase. And Jesus stopped and he called them. "What do you want for me to do?" he asked. This is a very important, and I want you to think about this. Think about all the healings and all the miracles that Jesus did. Think about it. How many times was Jesus interrupted that he performed a miracle? I mean, he was trying to get somewhere and someone would stop. He was trying to get through the crowd to get to help somebody, and some woman reaches out and touches the hem of his garment. He tries to go somewhere and minister, and someone's coming. "Come pray for my daughter. She's dying. She's sick. Come pray for my servant. He's dying." I mean, everywhere he goes, he gets interrupted. He can't even preach like this without someone tearing a hole in the roof and dropping someone down paralyzed in the mat. You know, hey, you're in the way of my PowerPoint. Get out of the way. I mean, Jesus is all about being interrupted. His whole life was about interruptions. I mean, how many of us, and I shared with you this, and I admit it, that I really have to work on this. Because I'm not a very patient guy. And when I'm driven and I'm trying to go somewhere and I've got a schedule to keep, I don't like getting interrupted. And I don't like long lines. I mean, you know me. I don't like long lines. I can't, you know, my kids are going to be wheelchair at Six Flags. So we want to skip around the front. I hate long lines. I hate interruptions. But, you know, as a Christian, I've got to learn to be interrupted. I've got to learn that my whole day is about interruptions. Because who is God bringing to my path that he wants me to minister to? And we've got to get over this fear of being interrupted. We've got to get past this selfish desire that it's all about me, my schedule. Well, I've got a schedule to keep, Pastor. Who doesn't? So you're saying your schedule's more important than Jesus' schedule? That's pretty good, wasn't it? You're saying your schedule's more important than Jesus' schedule? Jesus was all about being interrupted. And he didn't say, hey, what are you doing? Can you not wait until I, you know, come back? Or can you not wait until he stopped and he ministered to people? You can't be afraid of being interrupted because serving like Jesus, his attitude was he was available. How many people do we miss every day? How many people do we miss every day because we are not available? I mean, we're running in that store and we're running out. My mind is, I got to get the groceries, I got to get home and get them cooked, and I got to get the kids to bed, and I got to do this, I got to go to practice, drop kids off here, pick kids off here, I'm running. And we never pick our head up to see, is there somebody that maybe needs a touch from God today? Is there somebody I can encourage today? Is there somebody that I can reach out to? I had a person this morning that stopped me and said, Pastor, this week that I stopped a fellow worker in the hallway, and I noticed they had a headache, and I just offered to pray for them and give them some scriptures about healing. And it says, man, it changed their countenance. And they come back and said, man, my days are so much better. Thank you. I mean, are you really receptive to the person at work who maybe needs a touch of love during lunchtime, but you can say, hey, let me pray for you. Hey, can I do something for you? Can I serve you? Don't be afraid of being interrupted. Here's the point behind all this is we got to understand that if you're going to be used of God, you've got to be available. You've got to contribute. You've got to be ready to be interrupted. Proverbs 3:28 says, never tell your neighbors, wait until tomorrow if you can help them out today. Never tell your neighbors, wait until tomorrow if you can help them out today. Are you available? I like what John Wesley said. He said this, do all the good that you can, by all the means that you can, in all the ways that you can, in all the places that you can, at all the times that you can, to all the people, as long as you can. It's a good statement, isn't it? It's a good motto. I think if Jesus was here, he would say amen to that too. Not just him. All right, okay. That, friends, is greatness. Don't look for great ways to serve God. Don't look for great ways to serve God. Look for ways, small ways of making yourself available and let God get something great through you, okay? Sometimes we get in our mind, I got to have this great thing to do for God. And if I'm not doing this great big thing, then the rest of it doesn't make a difference. We don't have time for the smaller things. We don't have time. No, greatness comes through small increments of making myself available to be used to God. The second attitude we see is serving like Jesus means being grateful. I mean, Jesus had an attitude of gratitude. He had an attitude of being grateful. Serving like Jesus means that I thank God and I show a gratitude in my heart for serving him. There was a story one time that Jesus went to his friend's house, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He was on his way there, and as he was on his way, his friend Lazarus got sick and he died. And when Jesus got there, the Bible says that he wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, we know. Jesus wept. And when he got there, Lazarus had died, and he wept because he was so sorrowful that his friend had died and that his close friends had to mourn the death of this friend. But I like the prayer here. I think we can learn a lot from this prayer that Jesus prayed. We find it in John chapter 11 and verse 41 and 42. It says, "And Jesus looked up, and as he prayed to the Father, he said this, 'Father, I thank you.'" Look what he says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of people standing here." Isn't that amazing that Jesus started off and he prays, "Father, I thank you. I thank you that you hear me. I thank you that you have heard my prayer." He says, "Thank you, you're going to do this." Isn't that an amazing thing? He's getting ready to pray for Lazarus to be risen from the dead. He's going to come out of the tomb there, man. It's going to be one of the best miracles to see with a natural eye has ever been seen. And he says, "Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you've heard my prayer." See, there's something about serving that comes with an attitude that Jesus, when he served, he had an attitude of gratitude. He always was a way of thanking the Father. Ministry and miracles go hand in hand when you minister with gratitude. That's why when we pray, that many times we always try to end up our prayer time saying, "God, we thank you in advance. We thank you, God, you are faithful." Even when we don't see it with our natural eyes, with our spiritual eyes, we see it. And Father, we thank you in advance. It's the spirit of thanksgiving. It's the attitude of gratitude that we serve. We need people who need to do this. We need people who want to do it. An attitude of gratitude. Serving with gratitude. Psalms 102 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Serve the Lord with gladness. Let me say it again. Serve the Lord with gladness. We're called to be people who are thankful, who have a glad heart. Last week I told you this statement. I said, my prayer is that non-Christians will become Christians and that Christians will become nice. Some of you, that hit pretty hard last week, and we talked about that quite a bit. But we're changing who we are. Man, our attitude has got to be, "God, we thank you in advance. And God, it's a privilege to serve you. Lord, you have forgiven me because my life is not about my problems today. How do I do that? How do I serve the Lord with gladness? Because if I look at today doesn't look that great, does it, all the time? Today, the stock market's not doing great, and my finances aren't always doing well, and my family has got some things. And if I look just to today, I can't hardly serve the Lord with gladness, but when I look at eternity, my heart is full of gladness. God, because my life does not consist to today. My life consists of eternity. And no matter what, I've got news for you. How many want to know a secret? You got a secret? I'm going to give you a revelation right here. I've read the end of the book, and we win. You win. We win. If you're a Christian today, you win. And so I can serve the Lord with gladness because no matter what, I know that I win. No matter what I go through in my life, I win. No matter what kind of sickness my body walks through, I win. No matter how my finances look, I win. No matter what my family situation is right now, I win. We win. And so I serve the Lord with gladness, knowing that eternity is in his hands. My life is in his hands. That today is just a flashing moment. That my sorrow may only last, and weeping may only last for a morning. But listen, hey, there's a time coming. And today is that eternity comes, that I win. That we shall be all caught up together in the clouds. Together with him, our bodies changed. Our life changed for eternity. Together we will serve the Lord with gladness for eternity. So today I serve the Lord with gladness. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "It is he who has saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that it was his plan." He has always had a plan for you to serve him. And salvation is not solo by itself, but he has saved us and he has chosen us to do his work. They go hand in hand. I've never called to have salvation and to never do something for God. Part of my salvation is being obedient to do what God has called me to do. They go hand in hand. It's the fulfillment of my salvation. That God, if I know and have a revelation that you have saved me, and I know that you have forgiven me my sins, and eternity is going to be with you, then I'm going to gladly do what you've asked me to do. I'm going to gladly use my abilities to reach people for you. I'm going to gladly let you use my hands, my feet, my mouth, my finances, my resources. Everything I have belongs to you. It's an attitude of gratitude. Jesus had this. He said, Father, thank you, God, that you're going to do this. It's this attitude that he had. We don't serve out of duty. That's religion. I can't do so many good things, and then I mark it off my list, and now I've stepped up a notch into the kingdom of God. No, it's about, God, I'm available to be used of you every day. And because I love you, because I have a revelation of what my salvation means, I gladly serve you. I gladly want to represent you. The third attitude we see is this, that you got to be available. That Jesus was available. He was grateful. And the third thing is what? He was faithful. He was faithful. Available. He was grateful. Amen. And you got to be faithful. Jesus was faithful. John 17:4 says, I brought to you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I brought to you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. This is what Jesus said to God. I brought you glory by completing what you've asked me to do. He never said, God, I brought you glory. I got your glory by just sitting around, by going to church. I brought you glory because I told everybody about you. No, he said, I brought you glory by completing the work you've called me to do. This is how we bring the glory to God. This is how we show our love for Christ. This is how we show our love for God, is by completing the work he's given us to do. And that work is different for you than it is for me. Your work is different than my work. And your work is different from the person sitting next to you. All of us have a different work to do that God has called us to do. Look at this bookend of Jesus' life. We find the first statement of Jesus saying what? He's 12 years old. He's in the temple. He can't be found by his parents. His parents come back to find him. And what Jesus say to him? Hey, don't you know I must be about my father's business? That's what he told his mom and dad when they finally found him. He's 12 years old. He said, don't you know I've got a work to be done? There's a work that God's calling me to do. And on the cross, he made this statement, it is finished. It is finished. The work, God, you compelled me to, and called me to do, it is now finished. I mean, there was a call on his life. He had a work to do. Many of you here, God's got a call on your life, and you've been running way too long. You know who I'm talking about. That God is calling you to get up and to do something for him. Not because of a title, not because of a pay, not because of a position, but because you love the Lord. Because he wants to advance the kingdom of God through you. And through me. I know I'm preaching good. You know, it was Billy Graham, who was 90 years old. Just recently, Billy Graham just turned 90 years old. And we think of Billy Graham as one of the most, you know, well-known evangelists that his generation has ever known. I mean, packing stadiums across the world over and over again. Millions have come to know Christ through the ministry of Billy Graham. But today, I'm just going back to his testimony. I'm thinking of the testimony of Billy Graham talking about the time he showed up at a crusade, and he was at a revival meeting, a tent meeting that was going on. And he was trying to get in. The tent was packed. And so they were trying to pick up and look underneath the tent, him and a couple young guys that were with him. And a guy came outside and said, boys, what are you doing? Well, we're trying to see what's going on, but there's no chairs left. There's nothing, nowhere to sit. And they were turning people away. He says, come on, boys, follow me. And he walked Billy Graham and his friend all the way up to the front and set them right down on the front steps in front of everybody. And that night, Billy Graham gave his heart to God. Now, everybody knows who Billy Graham is, but nobody knows who that usher was. We don't know who that usher was. But he was instrumental in being used of God to bring one of the greatest evangelists known to mankind. I wonder how many of us have Billy Grahams in our reach every day, in the schools we teach in, we serve in, the workplace we're at, the Walmart we shop at, or the places we go. How many Billy Grahams are just all right around and waiting for somebody to touch them and say, hey, God loves you. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I show Jesus love your way? Which brings me to the last point quickly, and we're going to close with this point. The attitude that Jesus serves means you got to serve. You got to be generous. You got to be generous. Jesus was all about giving. The fact, the Bible says in Romans 3:24, out of sheer generosity. That's what it says. Out of sheer generosity, God put us in right standing with himself as a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by the means of Jesus Christ. You've heard me say this before, but that you can give without loving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave. In the story, we find the example right there. God loved us so much that he gave. He gave of himself. He gave. He led by example. He gave. He gave us life for you and I. He gave up a heavenly throne and came and was born of the Virgin Mary and walked this earth. He was spit upon. He was rejected by his own people. He was mocked by his own family. He had people did not accepting that he was Lord. He was ran out of town. He was beaten to a bloody pulp. His back and his flesh stripped off the bones. Nailed to a cross and hung there to die. Because he had this thing that he wanted to do. It was called give his life for you and I. He gave us life for you and I. And he did it because he had a generous heart. He loved us so much that he wanted to give his life for us. 1 Corinthians 9:13 says this, you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts, for your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Today, if you love God, you're going to take on a generous heart. Today, if you're here, you say, Pastor, I kind of struggle with this because I'm still struggling with a selfish nature. Can I tell you you're normal? Because all of us have that mine attitude. All of us, if we're not careful, we kept that spirit of, this is mine. I got to take this and I got to get this. It's not until you allow God to work in you that he can change your heart. And you do that by realizing how much he gave to you and I. And that our life has changed because he wants us to value eternity, not value today. But the world's just the opposite. They tell you eternity is not there, so you better get what you can get today. And God says, nah, it's not about this. It's not about today. It's not about your vapor of a life that's going to pass. It's about what kind of eternal difference. You know, we're going to have a responsibility when we get to heaven. We're going to be accountable for two things. We're going to be accountable for did we know him and did we confess him as Lord of our Savior? And the second thing we're going to be accountable for is what do we do with the giftings he's given us? Jesus talked about this parable of the talents that he gave. When the master came back and said, all right, what'd you do with the talents I gave you? And you know the story of the man who buried it and the other guys who multiplied it. We're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to give an account of what God's given us. What are you doing with your talents and abilities? Is your attitude one of I'm too busy? I'm selfish. I got to get my own kingdom. I've got to get my own things. Or is your attitude today, I want to let God use me. I want to make a difference in eternity. That's my prayer. That's my prayer today, is God would use me to make a difference in eternity. I want you to bow your heads this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And today, I want to ask you a very important question. A question that I ask almost every week here because we believe it's still the most important thing. The most important decision today is whether or not you are right with Jesus Christ. A decision that you have to make that I cannot make for you, but you have to freely accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and say, Pastor, as you're talking, I realize that I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life, and I would not embarrass you in any way at all. No one's looking but me. But if you're here today and say, I want to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I want to ask him to forgive me my sins. Whether you never prayed that prayer before, but maybe you have, and you've turned your back on God and said, today, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life and begin to serve God once again. Wherever you fall out today, if that's you today, can you just raise your hand where I can see it? No one's looking but me. Thank you. Anybody else, raise that hand where I can see it. Hi. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today, raise that hand. Being honest and saying, I need Jesus today, Pastor. I don't want to walk this life any longer without Jesus helping me. I need the forgiveness. I need a Savior. I need His compassion. I need His forgiveness. Anybody else today? No one's looking. I want to make sure you have that chance. If that's you, can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Before we go on today, we had several who raised their hands, so we want to pray this prayer with you. So I'm going to ask that we all pray this prayer together. Let's say it out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am, all my sin, all my dreams, all of my abilities. I give it all to you. I will serve you. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Yes. Just clap your hands. If you prayed that prayer today before you leave, we have a packet in the back we'd like to give you. It's got some free things for you, a free Bible, some other reading material. We want to give you some free things. Make sure you stop at the very back by this white door. We got several of those back there. We want to give those to you. This is our gift to you to let you get started in the right direction. If you don't have a church home, you need to be in a church home. You need to be around people who support you and who will love you and help you grow in this Christian walk. Today is not the end, but it's the beginning. If you pray that prayer, today is not the end, but it's the beginning of a journey where you begin to turn away from the person you used to be and say, God, I want to walk towards you. And I want to grow in you, discovering who you are and what you have for my life. It's about change. Today, if you're here, and I'm going to invite you to stand, let's just all stand up together. If you're here today and say, Pastor, as you're talking about serving, talk about the attitudes of Jesus, I realize today that I need to make some attitude changes myself. If God's been speaking to you about any of these areas, say, Pastor, God's speaking to me to change some attitudes in my life, can you just raise your hand in front of everybody today and say, that's me, Pastor. God's thinking, yes. God's speaking to me about changing some attitudes in my life. Thank you for being honest. It's all right to do that in front of people sometimes. Yeah, God's speaking to me, and I need to work on some of these attitudes in my life. I'm going to pray for you today. Father, I pray for every hand that was raised. I pray, Father, today that you would just be with them today and knowing that, God, that change comes through an obedient heart. That change can come no matter where we are, what we've walked through in our life. That, Father, we'll be obedient to you and confess that we don't have it figured out. And I pray today that, God, those who raised their hands and said they were struggling with some attitudes that we talked about this morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would come to them to now. Empower them, God, to make changes in their attitudes, in their approach, knowing that eternity is at stake. Their eternity, their neighbor's eternity, this community's eternity is at stake. And God, my attitude can go a long ways in making a worldwide difference in eternity. Change our attitude, God. Change our heart. The focus like you've taught us to serve others. We say yes to your word, yes to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Real quickly today, before you leave today, as many of you know the voting is coming up real soon. Now today, as a church, we do not get involved in politics. We don't tell you how to vote. We don't tell you who to choose. We trust that you will pray and allow God to speak to you to do that. But we do have some registration cards at the front. They dropped off. If you are not registered to vote, you have a Christian duty. You have a service in this community to be registered and to vote, okay? So if you're over the age of 18 and you have not registered to vote, this is your last weekend to do that. You can stop at the front counter, and there'll be someone out there to help you, give you a card, and you can register to vote, okay? God bless you. We'll see you tonight at a small group and a home group. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. Tell somebody it was good to see you today.